B-Pod Studios.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, we're taking your calls on a re-entry Monday. McCarthy and Glashine alongside. Let's grab Josh in the car. Start getting into some baseball here. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
So what I'm wondering is what it would take to either get Rizzo or Bryant here, and would it be worth giving it up to bolster the lineup?
Okay. McCarthy, I'll defer to you on that.
Yeah, so the Rays gave up two pitchers for Nelson Cruz. You have to kind of think that that's the comparable for Rizzo. The comps in the Sox system that I would go with, Connor Siebold and Josh Winkowski. Two guys that Bloom brought in, two guys that he really prizes. Is he willing to do that? Something tells me he might not be. But that's what it comes down to. I would make that trade, but I don't know if he will.
Is there a contract thing? Meaning, is Nelson Cruz, is this the last year of his deal? Does he have term after this?
Actually, I think Cruz might have a year left after the... Glashine, can you look that up for
me?
I'm
on it.
Okay.
Attaboy.
Rizzo does not have term. He does not.
Okay. Rizzo, from like a competitive standpoint, would be a great fit.
Sure would be.
He is a hardo gamer, that guy, you know? He does check a lot of boxes. How's he been the last couple of years?
He's been all right. He's not the player he once was, but he can still play. I mean, I think he's got a OPS maybe in the 750s. It's not great, but he can still play at first base. He's still a good defender. He's a clubhouse guy. He's a winner. He can grind it out. He's exactly what they need. He's still an everyday first baseman. He still hits lefties. He's exactly what they need. He is a perfect fit.
Nelson Cruz becomes an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season, so
okay.
It's a rental.
Okay, so that...
So they're both pure rentals.
They're both pure rentals. So what the Rays gave up for Cruz, which was their 7th and 23rd overall prospects, that's what you kind of have to think. That's what would be the cost for the Red Sox to get Rizzo.
Yours might have to be higher ranked because your prospects aren't as good, right?
Which is why I went with Siebold, who's the 6th guy in the system, and Winkowski, who's the 15th.
What if it's Tanner Houck?
I don't think you have to give up that much. I don't.
Yeah, what does he rank?
Houck has to be higher than that. He would be higher than Siebold.
I thought he was right in that range.
Yep.
But if you had to. If you had to, McTakey, so because I mean that's just a guy like I, you know, let's make it hard, because we would all trade prospects that aren't ranked high, or that we're not familiar with. That's easy. Now make it hard. Someone that you've seen that you like, a good young player, trading the future for the now. Would you do it?
I would not do that because I think Houck is going to help you this year. It's not that I love the pitcher or anything. I would then go to the second guy on the list at that point. I would go get a CJ Crone. I'd kick the tires on an Eric Hosmer, see if you can get him for less. I would not trade Houck for Rizzo. I don't think you have to, though, but I wouldn't because I think Houck's going to help you this year, too.
Milton in Providence on Bradley Beal. Hi, Milton.
Hey, how you doing, Mike? So I'm for the Bradley Beal trade. I think he would bring in some star power. And, you know, he's respected amongst his peers, so I would absolutely do that. Just two other points. I think that he would be a good on-court presence. You know, he had to coexist with John Wall and Westbrook, two ball-dominant players.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is Felger.
Felgstradamus.
And Mass.
You're not going to get anybody half decent for free.
Presented by DraftKings on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, we're taking your calls on a re-entry Monday. McCarthy and Glashine alongside. Let's grab Josh in the car. Start getting into some baseball here. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Good.
So what I'm wondering is what it would take to either get Rizzo or Bryant here, and would it be worth giving it up to bolster the lineup?
Okay, McCarthy, I'll defer to you on that.
Yeah, so the Rays gave up two pitchers for Nelson Cruz. You have to kind of think that that's the comparable for Rizzo. The comps in the Sox system that I would go with, Connor Siebold and Josh Winkowski. Two guys that Bloom brought in, two guys that he really prizes. Is he willing to do that? Something tells me he might not be. But that's what it comes down to. I would make that trade, but I don't know if he will.
Is there a contract thing? Meaning, is Nelson Cruz, is this the last year of his deal? Does he have term after this?
Actually, I think Cruz might have a year left after the... Glashin, can you look that up for
me?
I'm
on it.
Okay.
Yeah, boy.
Rizzo does not have term. He does not.
Okay. Rizzo, from like a competitive standpoint, would be a great fit.
Sure would be.
He is a hardo gamer, that guy, you know? He does check a lot of boxes. How's he been the last couple of years?
He's been all right. He's not the player he once was, but he can still play. I mean, I think he's got a OPS maybe in the 750s. It's not great, but he can still play at first base. He's still a good defender. He's a clubhouse guy. He's a winner. He can grind it out. He's exactly what they need. He's still an everyday first baseman. He still hits lefties. He's exactly what they need. He is a perfect fit.
Nelson Cruz becomes an unrestricted free agent at the end of the season, so it's a rental.
Okay, so that...
So they're both pure rentals.
They're both pure rentals. So what the Rays gave up for Cruz, which was their 7th and 23rd overall prospects, that's what you kind of have to think. That's what you would be, you know, the cost for the Red Sox to get Rizzo.
Yours might have to be higher ranked because your prospects aren't as good, right?
Which is why I went with Seabold, who's the 6th guy in the system, and Winkowski, who's the 15th.
What if it's Tanner Houck?
I don't think you have to give up that much. I don't.
Yeah, what does he rank?
Houck has to be higher than that. He would be higher than Seabold.
I thought he was right in that range.
Yep.
But if you had to. If you had to, McTakey, Sully, because I mean, that's just a guy. You know, let's make it hard.
Yeah.
Like, you know, because we would all trade prospects that aren't ranked high or that we're not familiar with. That's easy. Now, make it hard. Someone that you've seen that you like, a good young player, trading the future for the now. Would you do it?
I would not do that because I think Houck is going to help you this year. It's not that I love the pitcher or anything. I would then go to the second guy on the list at that point. I would go get a CJ Krohn. I'd kick the tires on an Eric Hosmer, see if you can get him for less. I would not trade Houck for Rizzo. I don't think you have to, though, but I wouldn't because I think Houck's going to help you this year, too.
Milton in Providence on Bradley Beal. Hi, Milton.
Hey, how you doing, Mike? So I'm for the Bradley Beal trade. I think he would bring in some star power. And, you know, he's respected amongst his peers, so I would absolutely do that. Just two other points. I think that he would be a good on-court presence. You know, he had to coexist with John Wall and Westbrook, two ball-dominant players. And Beal still got his. He's a solid vet. He'd bring it every night. He's a bad man. And lastly, the most important point of all of this is that you keep Tatum happy. And, you know, like we said, we got to ride it out with Tatum. I think trading Tatum would mean starting all over. So I think that you give Tatum his guy, and you try to keep Brown.
I think you're gonna have to give up Brown. But the thing you started to hit on, I think, is important, and that is the reputation of your team and your city as a place where these guys want to be and a destination and that sort of thing. I think it's taken a hit the last couple of years. I mean, how many guys have you brought in only to have them bolt out the door a couple of years later, not happy? Whether it is Kemba Walker or Kyrie Irving or Gordon Hayward or Al Horford, who's now back.
Marcus Morris, everybody.
Just on down the line. And then you have the whole Kyrie thing this year with, you know, hopefully it's not a racial, you know, doing that garbage that he did, I think hurt you. And I think you need to restore that. And if Bradley Beal really wanted to be here and steered his way to to Boston, telling other teams that I'm not going to re-sign with you, I'm only going to re-sign in Boston, so don't bother. And he really sort of carves out a path here, and Tatum was influential in getting him here. I think that's an important narrative for you. I think you need that.
Mike, they haven't had that happen. They haven't had somebody truly steer his way here. Now, Gordon Hayward chose to sign here. Al Horford chose to sign here. But that's doing the Anthony Davis thing. Instead of Anthony Davis saying, no, I'm not going to re-sign with you, Boston. I'm going to re-sign somewhere else. That would be Bradley Beal saying, Golden State, go pound sand. I'm going to Boston instead. That has not happened. What a development that would be for the Celtics if that happened. So, and if they pass that up because they want to keep Jaylen Brown, that would be really frustrating.
That, to me, is one of the most important reasons to do it. Tom and Revere on the Red Sox. Hi, Tom.
Hey, guys. The reason the Red Sox are a real threat is because of Alex Cora. Whether he's cheating better or just managing better, he does it better than anybody in the league. And another major factor is he relates to the players, which in that sport is huge. So as long as Cora is here, this team has the money and the resources to always be a threat. Thank you.
Okay. What is his secret sauce there, McCarthy? How does he do that?
I think he connects with players and he gets the most out of them. I think he's a strong, strong communicator. I think he's a good manager in-game stuff, but that doesn't really matter in baseball anymore. It's all a formula anyway. Look, he gets the most out of Bogarts. He gets the most out of Devers. He's gotten the most out of JD Martinez. Look at the bounce back JD Martinez has had this year under Alex Cora. He's a strong communicator. He gets the most out of those guys. And look on the other side of the field this weekend. Look at the damage a manager can do. Look at what Aaron Boone has done to the New York Yankees.
You think he mismanaged the no-hitter thing yesterday?
Oh, hell yeah.
Absolutely. Really?
Yeah.
Should have yanked him before?
Oh, no, no. Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you mismanaging his bullpen afterwards and, you know, letting Loaizaga, you know, hang out to dry. No, I think I'm not going to ever rip somebody for letting a kid go out there and try and throw a no-hitter. That's not what I'm going to do. It obviously didn't work out after that, but I won't criticize him for that. I'll criticize him for everything else he's done this year because the guy's wholly unqualified to be that manager.
He's got a dead-ass team.
Unbelievable, doesn't he?
Glashine?
I would argue this is Alex Cora's most impressive managing job in Boston. That 2018 team was loaded with talent, right? There's more sure things in the starting rotation. He's gotten the most out of some guys who were really, really bad last year. Some guys who hit rock bottom. So to see the turnaround of what he's brought out of this crew this year, especially the middle of that order, Bogarts, Martinez, and Devers, I think it's most impressive he's been since he's been here. Plus, facing all the pressure of the cheating coming back this year.
Yeah, I don't know. Given how this team has gone worst to first and, you know, these bounce back years, I don't know how you don't take them seriously. Like, seriously, seriously. Mm-hmm. I mean, we've seen this before, right? And it even happened for John Farrell. So, like, as good as Alex Cora is, and I buy in like everybody else, this team has a little bit of a track record of, you know, new guy comes in, new regime, and all of a sudden you flip a switch and, well, but anyway, that feels like that kind of year, doesn't it?
Sure does. As I said, they lead the league in it factor. Like, I'm not going to deny it anymore. They're not the most talented team in baseball, but it's oftentimes not the most talented team in baseball that wins the World Series. It was last year, but it's oftentimes not. 2013, of course that happened. So listen, they should be in the mix. They should have as good a chance as anybody else. Now it's up to Chaim Bloom over the next 4 days to go out and improve this team because they've overachieved. They've gotten themselves to this point. It's time to have the team on paper more aligned with the actual performance of this team. Go out and get it done, Chaim.
James in Dorchester. Hi, James.
Yeah, hey, guys. I know a lot of people have been mentioning names like Rizzo, but I think a guy like Eric Hosmer makes a lot more sense from San Diego just because if you look at all the moves Chaim's made, it's controlled more for more than just 1 year. Kike, even Garrett Richards and a couple of the guys, everyone he brings in, he has control over more than 1 year. And I think he's still keeping in mind past this year and trying to build a team that's going to be long term. So I think Eric Hosmer, you can actually even get some prospects back with him because his contract is so bad. So that way you fill a need for the meantime. You're the Red Sox, so you can take on a bad contract. And you can still keep in mind the long term by making San Diego add some prospects.
Okay. Thanks for the call, James. Another guy who's won.
Yep.
You think he has a little bit of that, you know, I don't know, just experience and championship pedigrees like Rizzo. I think there's similarities there. Is Rizzo a better hitter?
Yeah, Rizzo's still a better player, I would say. I think he has a better chance to make an impact. But, you know, to the caller's point, San Diego's trying to get out of that contract. If you're willing to take on the contract, maybe you get a prospect back in return. And you have a first baseman coming up in a year and a half in Tristan Casas. So you figure it out then. That's what the Red Sox should be doing. They should be using their resources to their advantage. Whereas you might have to give up a little something for Rizzo, you probably don't have to give up anything for Hosmer. And maybe he's not as impactful, but he's still a big league first baseman and you could still put him out there every day.
And he can opt out after next year, 2022.
He's not going to do that.
He won't, right, because he'd be foolish. To do so,
he'd be leaving $39 million on the plate for the next 3 years. He probably wouldn't get $39 million at that point in his career. But again, you're the Red Sox. That's the advantage you have. I don't know if they're ready to go back to, you know, taking advantage of their resources, though. I don't know if they're truly ready to spend $20 million per year for a guy like Eric Hosmer. That does not strike me as the type of thing that John Henry and Chaim Bloom want to do right now.
McCarthy, can they make it with the current production they're getting out of that position? Like,
no.
Can they get through the regular season with what they've been adding? It's been crap. It's been awful.
It's a disaster. No, they must add an everyday first baseman at this deadline. Anything less than that is a big-time miss from the Red Sox. They have to add at that position.
Chris in the car for, well, Dakota and Braintree, really. Go ahead, Chris.
Hey, guys. So I just wanted to comment when caller said trade Tatum for Hachimura in the eighth pick. That guy's delusional, and he needs to never watch NBA basketball again. He just doesn't get it. But I will say the Celtics, Bradley Beal is a guy you should trade Brown for. I wouldn't trade Brown for many players, but if you're going to keep Tatum happy, and then it would also free up a lot of money because Beal expires the next year. You got to keep his bird rights. You can add a third guy to that team, another max free agent. And then you go from there with Tatum, Beal, and insert that third max guy, and then you probably have a title contending team.
Does it work that way? Does it work that way? Would they have room for a third, for another guy, Stu?
Cap space in the NBA can be maneuvered in a number of different ways.
All right. Well, but that whole piece of Tatum likes it here enough to actually talk his friend into coming here. Like, I've always thought that was the biggest hurdle. It's not just wanting to play in Boston, but vouching for it.
Yep.
You know, I vouch for the city. I vouch for the franchise to the point where I'm going to, like, because that's a big thing to do. That's a big thing to say, you know, to have your friend come move his family to this place because this is going to be a good place for you. So you're putting your, like, you know,
your reputation,
your friendship there on the line. It's like, I trusted you. You told me this place was good and I was going to like it here. So he better like it. So it's going to take a lot. I think I thought it would take a lot for Tatum to not just want to be here, but actually try and convince others to come. And if they can pull that off, I think it's a narrative they desperately need, especially after the last 3-4 years, call it, of all these departures and what Kyrie Irving did to you again last year. Like, I think they need that.
Yeah, and I think a lot of Celtics fans view this as kind of a lateral move, or maybe, you know, pretty close to a lateral move. But you know what? You're at the point where you have to make some type of lateral move in the hopes that Tatum and Beal gives you a better chance to land NBA superstar X in 2 years compared to Tatum and Brown. And I think Tatum and Beal does give you a better chance to do that. So you do make the lateral move in the meantime, simply for the PR of it. They need the PR of it. They desperately need that.
Here's the other thing. You can't get caught, as you say, Mike, with your Schmenzer in your hand, right? Look at this past year.
Schmenzer.
Yeah.
Schmenzer. Look at this past year, right? How it all opened up. What do you think Miami's thinking this year? Oh, we could have had James Harden if we parted with Tyler Hero, who was a hero in the bubble. And that's it. His value, very low. Same could be said about Ben Simmons in Philadelphia. They could have had James Harden. There was a path there this year, as you've been saying, Mike.
Definitely.
After Brooklyn, who can't seem to stay healthy on the floor with James Harden, it's kind of open. Like, I know Milwaukee won the title, but it's kind of open. So are we going to hear this whole narrative again with Celtics fans? You know, I wouldn't trade Jaylen Brown for Bradley Beal. I don't think that's worth... Well, okay. Well, we just saw this year it could open up for you.
So I need to nail... Are you yes on a Jaylen Brown for Bradley Beal? I thought you were no. So are you ragging on yourself?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay, there you go. Yeah. Stu, did you have something there?
Yeah. You were talking about teams potentially fitting third stars with weird cap space and a lot of cap space. The Lakers might be in on Russell Westbrook. And last week I was saying, like, they might be in on Bradley Beal or Kyrie Irving. I think Washington is about to blow it up. And this is all rumor and innuendo and speculation, but if Westbrook and Beal go, maybe Beal's price is less because Westbrook is going to the Lakers. The Lakers can get there might be a multiple team trade going on right now.
Okay, I like it. Stu's on it. His phone is on. We continue with your thoughts here
but
on.
But then the Lakers get another superstar, and there's no shot at the championship for Boston.
Well, we'll just worry about what's going on in the East.
Okay.
Yeah, first things first. First things first, back to your calls after this.
Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Felger and Mass.
They've been incredibly consistent.
The only thing that's consistent is their inconsistency.
I don't think that's inconsistent.
Yeah, which is exactly what Murray said.
Am I misinterpreting it?
No.
Now, more Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Wade at second. 2-2-1. Swung on and popped up. Here comes Devers. Raffy along the line. He's got it. And the Red Sox win 5-4. They beat the Yankees, win the series. They have clinched the season series. That's the game of the year.
That is absolutely the game of the year. No brainer. You get no hit for 7 innings. Then you finally get 5 hits. You put 5 hits in a row.
What's the big deal, guys? The Red Sox just waited a while.
That's all. I mean, wow. I've never seen anything like that. That game. game in particular. That's why this will always go down. This was the game of the year.
That was a great game.
That was the reaction on Nesson yesterday. Maz has been saying this all year, and I want your thought, McCarthy. Does that game say more about the Yankees or more about the Red Sox?
I think yesterday said more about the Red Sox.
Aren't we getting to the point where it's really more about the Red Sox?
I agree. And the Yankees are a complete disaster, don't get me wrong. You can say that about them just about every game they play. But my God, you get no hit, Mike, for 7 innings. You get 1 hit, and all of a sudden the floodgates open. You get 5 hits in the game, 5 runs, you win it. 5 hits in a row to win that game. That would have been a big loss in that series. You know, the way you were leading that game on Saturday, you know, Ottavino implodes on the mound. You feel like you should get a series sweep. The bats are lifeless on Sunday, yet late in the game, you find some life. One thing goes your way and you open the floodgates. It says everything about their resilience, their makeup, and again, the it factor. That's the best way to describe it. They lead the league in it factor, and you know what? That's worth something. I don't know if you can quantify it. I don't think nerds can quantify it, but that's worth something to me.
You've said it. 32 come from behind wins?
That's right.
So,
of 61.
I mean, you can quantify it. That is insane.
It's unbelievable. It's ballsy. That's what it is.
So, are you one of these run differential guys?
Not really, no.
Because of that, you don't have your run differential or the Pythagorean thing. Like, mm-hmm. if you pump all that into the supercomputer, they shouldn't have the win-loss record that they do. The nerd would say they're a fluke.
Yeah, I don't think they're a fluke. I don't think they're the best team in baseball. I don't think they're going to win the World Series. But what I think is they've overachieved. They have that it thing, whatever you want to say, and they've put themselves in a position where now if you do add 2 pieces at the deadline and now Chris Sale's coming back, well, now you might be cooking. Now you might have something here. So sure, you could say it's a fluke. I don't think it's a fluke, though. I think this team has something. I don't know if that something is World Series quality, but it's something. You can't deny it. I'm not denying it.
I'm not either. I'm just telling you, the run differential crowd, you know, run differential, they're 3rd in the division.
Yeah.
They're behind even Toronto.
Yeah.
In run differential, I'll say 1, 2, 3, 4. They're like 7th in the league.
And that's why run differential is a piece of crap. Have you seen the Red Sox play the Blue Jays all year long?
Yes.
Like, I mean, who's the better team?
Right.
Oh, it's not even close. I mean, open your eyes. Look at this. But that's my concern. You know, as we approach the trading deadline, Mike, Heim Bloom's the one in charge. He's somebody who probably puts a lot of stock into base runs and run differential and a lot of analytics. And all the analytics say the Red Sox are a fluke. Is he going to say, well, I should improve this team, or I'm just going to ride this out? I very much hope he improves this team. I think it's gotten to the point where you need to do something borderline significant. Go out and add an everyday first baseman. Go out and add a pitcher. Do it.
And the decision's not totally his. There is an owner, and I think it's perfectly okay. I don't think you're meddling if you're an owner and you say to your GM, organizationally, we're okay spending future assets to win now.
Yes.
And we want you to do that, Heim. I don't consider that ownership meddling. It's what you want from your team. It's meddling if you come in and say, I want Hosmer, not Rizzo, because when the owner comes in with the stopwatch and the whistle around his neck, then you're in trouble. But for an owner to say, we're okay trading prospects for the now, I think that's totally within Henry's right. And if he gives Heim Bloom that direction, Heim Bloom's going to have to do it.
And you know what? Heim Bloom should be capable of doing this while also building for the future, because who was charged with building for the future and building up a farm system when he took over the Boston Red Sox? Theo Epstein. 2002, the Red Sox had the worst farm system in baseball. Did that ever stop Theo in 2003 and 2004 from improving those teams? Now, teams were better on paper. They were just better teams, period. You can improve in the present while also still building for the future. It's not that hard, especially when you have the deep pockets that you do.
If you do nothing, you run the risk of also losing a little bit of the morale there in the clubhouse, don't you?
Yes.
I don't want Wick Grosbeck calling in, you know, offending anybody.
What a shot that would be at this at that team. If you don't improve, if you don't do something relatively significant at the deadline, all they're doing is every day going out there and busting their ass, winning these games, proving that they are worthy and deserving of an upgrade at the deadline. And if you don't do something, what a slap in the face that would be to Xander Bogaerts and that entire team.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Here's another trade idea that I like. Josh at the desk. Go ahead, Josh.
What's going on, guys? I personally love this team. I think they're an absolute wagon. I love the energy. I think Sale and Hawk are going to be great moving forward. And I heard the call come in about Hosmer. Same number wise, but I think Joey Votto would be such a good fit here at the tail end of his career. Kind of wasted it away in Cincinnati. I just think it would be a perfect ending for his career to come here and get one. What do you guys think?
I love Joey Votto.
I do too.
Love Votto. That is a ball player.
Fenway Park too. His approach, professional hitter.
Ball player, ball professional player. Hitter. I've always liked that guy.
They'll never do it, Mike.
Why?
$25 million for the next 3 years after this, taking him until he's 40 years old.
Ask you what his contract was. Yep. 25 per until he's 40?
Yep. $75 million over the next 3 years. They will never, ever do it.
That's too bad.
But they should. Because you know what? He can still play, too. He's not the player he once was. He's got an 850 OPS this year. He's hitting 270. He can still play a little bit.
So this is a guy that's number one, but I still consider a winner. Like, I just, when I watch him play.
Yeah, because totally it's just his approach at the plate. And my God, can you imagine him peppering the wall? Can you imagine him going to left field at Fenway?
Tony and Stonehip, you're up next with Felger and McCarthy.
Hey,
what do you got, Tony?
How you doing?
Good.
I'm shocked you didn't start today's show with the Red Sox. Here's what you got. They're just amazing. Go back about the 10 days. He hits for a pinch hitter, and the guy hits a grand slam. He made a big mistake Saturday in taking the pitcher out with a 3-0 lead in the eighth inning. And the way they came back yesterday, and the key yesterday, the Devers and Bogarts and JD, they're 0-14 except for a sacrifice fly for the fifth run yesterday. They did that without those three guys even getting a hit in the game.
Good job, Tony. I would agree with you. On Saturday night, did Cora mismanage it?
I don't think he did. I think Ottavino just lost his freaking mind out there. Something went against him, you know, the blue pit, you know, that Stanton had, and then he lost his mind, and then he completely lost his composure. That was a little concerning to me. Ottavino's been good for them. A little blue pip to right, all of a sudden you start hitting guys, letting them steal bases. He cannot control the running game. I don't think that's necessarily on Cora, though. I don't. I just think a guy who's been reliable completely lost his stuff.
Luke in Vermont, what do you make of these Bradley Beal rumors?
So, I do think you're on to something with Giannis and Luka and the compete factor. I think those guys are 1 and 2 right now in the entire league, and it's not that they're the most talented, it's that they have they're the most competitive guys, and they're not corrupted by the whole AAU culture. So I do think there's something there, but I also think Tatum is a great piece, and you have to build around him and help he grows out of that. I think Brown for Beal is a lateral move in talent and position. So I think you have to move heaven and earth to do everything you can to hold on to Brown in that deal. You don't give up Brown. All the picks, all the players that you want. And the only way that happens, though, is if Beal says, I only will re-sign with Boston.
No, that's true. So for you to get him at a discount, he's got to pee in the pool. He's got to dampen his own market across the league.
And are we convinced that's going to happen? Because I'm not. I mean, why wouldn't he want to go to Golden State? Why wouldn't he want to go to Miami?
Exactly. I understand that because he wants to play with his buddy.
Well, he might want to play with his buddy, and that's fine. But when push comes to shove and they say, okay, Bradley, you can go to Golden State. You can play with Curry, Thompson, Draymond, you know, all that. Or you can go to Boston and play with your friend. How big of a friend is Jason Tatum at that point? That's ultimately what it comes down to. How close are you? Because you can go to Miami, you can go to Golden State, or you can go to Boston. You can say, it'd be nice to play with my friend. It's good to want things. But when push comes to shove, when you have to make that decision, I'm not convinced that the Tatum factor is truly going to draw him here. I hope it does. Not convinced it does happen, though.
Okay, there were developments today as it relates to Aaron Rodgers, Deshaun Watson, the very latest here in the update with Glasheen.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Please, Mass.
What the?
Felger and Mass.
What the F are we doing here?
98.5.
What are we doing?
The Sports Hub.
We did what we did. You know, we told us where and when, and we play, you know, and
I know people get caught up on losing one game or losing series and all that, but we don't. We don't. I mean, we show up every day and we play. And yesterday they took a game from our hands. A few days ago we took one from them, and today we did the same thing. And you know, it's a testament of who they are. You know, they show up every day and they don't get down on themselves. You know, it was tough. You know, you got to give credit to him. Good fastball, good breaking ball, using, you know, his fastball in different spots. They made some adjustments throughout the series, but at the end, just keep fighting and see what happens. You know, just one of those that, you know, we believe in what we do. We believe in our players, and they keep fighting till the end.
There is something about Cora, man. It does translate. The attitude.
Yeah.
You know, it's very rare. I think it's exceptionally rare for a manager or a coach in any sport to give the team its DNA. But I think Cora does. I think he's one of those rare guys. Like, I mean, honestly, I think it's impossible in basketball. Almost never happens. Hockey, no. I mean, in any sport, it's driven by the players. But there is, I think Cora's one of those rare guys that reaches guys on that level, or his attitude is just, it does, it translates, it permeates.
Yeah, I mean, he's the difference, Mike. He is the primary reason for the turnaround, the Red Sox bringing him back. And, you know, the few times this year where it feels like it could have gone sideways, remember that series against the Rays about a month ago? They lose on, like, the walk-off wild pitch. They played a bad series. They're like, this is going to start to go. They win seven in a row. They have a bad stretch going into the All-Star break. They have a bad, you know, weekend series against the Yankees last weekend. What do? They sweep the series in Toronto. They come back. They take 3 out of 4 from the Yankees this weekend. He just has an ability to stabilize them, and he has ability to prop them up when they need to be propped up, because this team, as we know, they're not the most talented team, but he has them playing above their heads. I agree, Mike. It's a totally rare ability, and the Red Sox are very lucky to have Alex Cora as their manager.
Okay, it's a Reentry Monday. It is brought to you by our friends at East Boston Savings Bank. Everything from the weekend. We haven't gotten to the Bruins, but we've had callers on the line, holding on the line to do it, so let's do it here. Cam and Taunton, go.
You know, this Hall contract is a great deal. Sweeney did it again. The fact that you've got him at $6 million, that kind of talent. Now, I mean, the market was just set for McAvoy with his Makar contract out in Colorado. Just go out and be aggressive, please. Go get the D-men you need to get. You made a nice trade today with the Maple Leafs to get some size. What they're paying him compared to what Toronto's paying their top three guys, night and day. Another great contract by Sweeney.
Okay, and I think they're lucky. I just think Taylor Hall wants to be here and was willing to take less. I'm not sure how much less. You know, I don't know if a big payday was out there for Taylor Hall, but he would have done better.
Yeah, could he have gotten 7-5 for 35 on the market? Maybe, probably, one would think. But no, I mean, the Bruins, luck or no luck, now you need to take advantage, Mike, because you're paying Bergeron, Marchand, Hall, and Pastrnak a combined total of just over $25 million. So now you need to go out and spend. You need to spend aggressively. You have $21 million left. You need to go out and, I think, almost do something borderline reckless at this point, because it's not like you have a future. It's not like you have, you know, this wealth of great young players coming up through your system. They're still very much in a win now window. I don't think they're in a win 3 years from now window. So go out and spend that money. I'm with Can. You have to be aggressive.
What did he mention with Toronto? Did the Bruins do something today?
What do you mean, did the Bruins do something today?
Didn't he just say, I like the move they made today with Toronto? Did he say that?
No. He was saying, oh, yes, they did. They added a defenseman. They got the rights of a defenseman.
Okay. Well, you
minor move there. Okay. I saw, and I'm drawing a complete blank on the defenseman's name.
Okay. Well, you let me know when we get that. Tommy and Lynn. Hi, Tommy.
What's up, boys? How are you guys? All right. Tommy. So, Felga, that Taylor Hall contract, I love it because he got $6 million, and that's good. Less money for him, and now we could get some good, decent player. If we don't get Krejci, we could get a decent, good center on that second line with Taylor Hall.
Okay, Tommy.
And Craig Smith.
All right, babe, you need defense, man. You need defense. That's the first priority, whether Krejci is back or not. And, you know, you could say it's lucky that Hall wanted, you know, was willing to take less to stay, and you got another team-friendly contract. Or you could say you have, and this is both to their credit, but I also want to, you know, say something about it too, that I think players really like it here. I mean, how many guys have they gotten to take below they could have gotten? You know, there's really only one bad contract on the books, and that's Charlie Coyle. But, you know, Bergeron took less, Marchand took, you know, what we thought was under market, Pastrnak, now Hall. Like, there's a long line of guys. You know, Chara wanted to be here, And they just sort of pushed him out. It's, you know, Rask says, I'm not going to play anywhere else other than Boston. Krejci says, I'm not going to play anywhere else other than Boston. So they got something going on here that the guys really want to be here and like being here. And, like, that's to their credit. Now I'll say this. Is it too comfortable? You know, like, does that go too far? Like, it's okay. There's not enough pressure on these guys. They're not hard enough. You know, like, I mean, I guess I would want to be here too. If, I don't know.
You're not being pushed?
I never won anything. And, you know, you still get treated like a king. Or, I mean, I don't know. But it's like, maybe it's too comfortable. Maybe they're too happy here. Maybe it's, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, they've been so content with this core, which is good. I mean, it's a good core, Mike. But over the last 10 years, since they won the Cup, you know the Bruins have the second highest winning percentage in hockey?
Yes, next to Tampa, yeah.
Actually, I think behind Washington, but it doesn't matter. Right? Over the last 10 years since they won the Cup, second highest winning percentage in hockey, and they've been beyond the second round twice. So, I mean, I think, you know, maybe there's a comfortability with the culture, but I also think there's a comfortability just organizationally in the way they construct the roster, because isn't your concern that the Bruins are just going to spend that 21, they'll kind of run it back, it'll be the same group? No, you're getting these guys to take less. You got $21 million left to spend. Go out there and then do something. I don't want to say borderline reckless, but spend some money. Maybe get into a bad contract in the hopes that, you know what, maybe it helps you right now.
The caller just mentioned there's defenseman signing for $9+ million yep. dollars a year. Or Jones, Seth Jones just got $9.5 million.
Yep. Makar got nine.
And then there's, I think he's in Dallas. Is it Heiskanen? Neskanen? I can't remember his name. Another guy just got $8.5 million a year.
And they're saying Suter is going to get 4 years.
So, but I'm just talking about McAvoy. Yeah. So, you know, McAvoy's under contract this year, but next year, that's what he's getting. You're going to have to pay him $9+ million a year. So that's got to factor into all of your financials, because that's just about the most important guy in the roster, I think. Tim and Nashua, quickly on the draft.
Michael, I want you to, you know, basically put some light in the fog on defense, because you talk about the Suter guy. I've never heard of the Suter guy.
You've never heard of Ryan Suter?
Not like you hear, like, you know, what most popular defenseman in the league.
Okay.
But you lose Lazon, and then, you know, in the draft, I'm waiting for him to pick at least the top two picks a defenseman, and he picks forwards. I mean,
look, the draft, I can't – these kids take so long to play. I have no idea. They drafted a Swedish winger, right? Who's supposed to be a skill guy, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so at least they did that. What's that?
Yeah, kind of high-end skill, high-upside guy.
Okay, so like at least they did that as opposed to drafting a checker at the bottom of the first round, which I've seen them do now too. So at least they went for skill this time. And they have young defensemen. So it's like it's, you know, they have that on their roster. I'm not going to rip them for not drafting a young defenseman. Whoever they draft down there is not going to be ready for a couple years anyway. So, like, the draft, I can't do NHL draft talk. I can't, unless they're drafting one or two and it's Hall or Sagan, like something like that. I can't do it. I'm sorry, I can't.
Yeah, we'd be better off doing MLB draft talk, which we only did this year because the Red Sox had the fourth overall pick, to your point, Mike. And you can barely do that.
Yeah, you did. I didn't. Yeah. You can't do that. It's just one of those sports you can't talk the draft. I don't like talking any draft. Never mind the hockey draft. Long commercial-free segment is next on that note.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
You are a sorry lot. You are a sad, sorry lot.
98.5.
Literally pathetic.
The Sports Hub.
Well, we go to the bottom of the eighth inning, and Herman, of course, pitching a no-hitter. Verdugo hits a high drive to right field, and it is off the right center field bullpen wall for a double for Verdugo, and that takes care of the no-hitter. This is one thing we know. It sounds like the corniest cliche. There's a base hit, one hop off the left field wall. Scoring is Verdugo. On to second is Renfro with a double. So back-to-back doubles begin the eighth inning, and it's 4-1. I can't get the words out of my mouth. The Yankees and everyone around them know no lead is safe. Boy, do we know that. That's not corny. It's not a cliche. It's an absolute truth with the Yanks.
Well, anytime you play in this park, it's never over. I mean, I know the cliche, it's never over till it's over. This is this park for that.
Vasquez, and the pitch is cut on and hit in the air to right field, and it dunks in for a base hit. And the ball is grounded right up the middle for a base hit. So Vasquez stops at second. Cordero gets a single, a grounder right up the middle. And here's the 2-0 to Hernandez. Swung on and line, base hit. Over third, down the left field line, and one hop off the left field wall. Vasquez scores, and we'll have runners at second and third with no one out. Boston, there's no one out. Double, double, single, single, double. And here's the 0-1 to Lewecki, and the pitch is chopped to short. Torres throws to first, and the game is tied at 4.
Amazing.
So Cordero scores. It's almost tough to believe, and you know what? I've seen this movie before. How many times? And here's the 1-0 to Bogarts, and he hits a high fly to right. Allen, near the line, makes the catch. And the throw home is going to be late. It's another good throw by Allen. Hernandez scores, and Boston takes a 5-4 lead. If I hadn't seen it so many times, I would have said, oh, it's unbelievable. No, it's believable. So five runs are in, and it's amazing. You think, is this, is there a script? I mean, is this... Really? I mean, think about it.
If there is, we don't like it.
That's what it sounded like over the weekend in New York. Reentry Monday, Red Sox on the table. Bruins after their draft and heading into free agency on the table. Celtics on the table. Reportedly, Bradley Beal in the sights of the Celtics, or he's one of the few teams that he would want to be traded to. So we're talking about that. And we got football on the table. In fact, we have some breaking NFL news for you now.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Packers are offering concessions and are close to an agreement that would bring Aaron Rodgers back to Green Bay for at least this season. Sources tell ESPN's Adam Schefter, deal is not done, but it is close. Schefter added the new agreement, once finalized, would help set up Aaron Rodgers' departure from Green Bay after this season, per sources.
Okay, what else? Give me more, McCarthy. You reading me some of the other tweets during the break?
Those were the tweets I was just reading you.
Okay,
yep.
So that's it.
That's the Adam Schefter tweet.
So, I mean, to me, they still have his rights. This is like his contract was structured so he had 2 years of real money left when they drafted Jordan Love. So this is the last of those two real years. Then he's got, if not dummy years, non-guaranteed years. So this whole thing about, I want to know what that piece sounds like, or what exactly that is that would facilitate his departure after one more. Give us one more year and then we'll let you go. Does that mean they'll let him go for nothing? And you know, the thing about not franchising him, well, his contract's not up.
Yeah.
So the franchise tag isn't in play. They'd have to release him. And have they agreed to release him and just let him walk for nothing in return? Like, that would piss me off. Do you have anything, Stu?
Well, I was going to say, this seems similar to Tom Brady. There's the threat. There's the rumor of the threat of retirement from Rodgers, like there was from Brady a few years ago with his last year of service to the Patriots. And then the contract is restructured with all these dummy years, and then he just walks away. So that's what this looks like with Aaron Rodgers, is I'll play this year for you, and then I'm free to go wherever I want and do whatever I want.
He's doing
the Brady.
It feels
like he got talked into this.
No, he's absolutely doing the Brady. I mean, this is playing out extraordinarily similarly. The only thing is, the Patriots had to hand over their ability to franchise Brady. That's the only difference. They washed their hands of him. They said, we don't want you. We're not going to franchise you. See you later. You got the dummy years here, so that's the only difference here. But this is playing out very, very similarly. This will be Aaron Rodgers' final year in Green Bay.
I mean, can you get something for him? Can you trade him? Can you agree to trade him? I mean, I know that's going to hurt his value. I know that's sort of a tricky thing. Like, you put in writing, we will trade you. But I mean, you knew this was coming. Why not maximize the asset and get something in return as opposed to just letting him walk for nothing? I hate that part of it. And they were just hell-bent on this plan. And what's that going to look like when that pill shows back up? You know, the whole world knows he hates it there, doesn't want to be there. You're sort of forcing him back for one more year. What are you going to get out of him in that year? What's he going to be like?
12-4 and a first-round exit against the Tennessee Titans. Isn't it going to kind of play out very similarly to the way the thing went down with Brady?
Yeah. I mean, maybe. Yeah. I don't know. It's a fair point.
Except the only frustrating thing, what should be frustrating to you as a Packers fan is I know as a fact that there was a franchise that offered a starting quarterback in the NFL 2 firsts, 3 seconds, 2 thirds for Aaron Rodgers, and the Green Bay Packers said no. Now, I don't know if that's because Aaron Rodgers refused to report to this team or whether they just didn't want to trade him and wanted to keep him.
What was the team?
Cleveland.
Oh, God.
So it was Baker Mayfield.
It was Mayfield and all those picks.
Mayfield, 2 firsts, 3 seconds, 2 thirds.
And that's according to your phone?
That's according to a text message I got from an NFL person June 8th of this year.
<It's> phone. So you have mentioned that before. So that sounded familiar.
I mentioned it to you off the air.
Oh, so like that, and I don't know if this was denied or not, but that report from San Francisco before San Francisco drafted Trey Lance. I think Garoppolo, I as a Packer fan, I would love to have Garoppolo. I think he'd fit. That's that system. He'd be fine there. I just want you handing off anyway and rolling out. And I'd take Garoppolo as a bridge guy to get to Jordan Love any day of the week.
I know that the 49ers were in on Garoppolo back, in on Rodgers back in February.
Yeah, right. And so wasn't there? I thought that was the original hot rumor. So like, that's what I would have done. That's what I would have done. Why were they so hell-bent on getting this last year out of Rodgers? I don't get it.
Doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, do they really feel that they're on the verge of a championship and it's going to be one last hurrah? I don't know. I mean, Brady and the Bucks blocking you in the NFC. It feels like the NFC's got some talent there. It doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me.
I mean, it makes sense in that it's like he's a franchise guy and, the kid's not ready and it was always their plan to have 2 more years out of Rodgers and they're following through on their plan. Like, I get that part of it. Like, that does make sense in terms of that. I'm just telling you, have some balls. So Aaron Rodgers blew up your plan a year early. Get something for him. Get something in return.
And Mike, you're wondering like what the temperature of the room might be when he's back there, how that's going to look. Well, earlier today when we mentioned that Rappaport report that people close to him plan he'll be back. Well, the close to him thing triggered one of his teammates. David Bakhtiari tweeted, "Wow, guess we aren't close people at Aaron Rodgers." It could be just dumb playfulness on Twitter, but...
Well, I mean, implying Rodgers hasn't told his friends on the team.
Right. Well, he figures Bakhtiari's close to him.
So
maybe, but it could be a joke because you know how it goes on Twitter, Mike. We just go on there and horse around.
There's no, it's true, Glashine. Thank you.
I know.
It's, if it didn't end well with Brady and it didn't here, but Brady's 12-4. Like that's not ending well with Brady. How could it possibly end well with Aaron Rodgers, who has no sort of patience for anyone who's ever crossed him or anything? Like, this is a guy that shut out his family. He doesn't talk to his parents. He doesn't talk to his brother. Every girlfriend that he's had has, been dumped to the side and never mentioned again. Like, it's not like we're still friends. Like, every meaningful relationship, it feels like from the outside, every meaningful relationship he's ever had has blown up in a ball of fire, never to be revisited. And this is a guy that's going to walk back in and give him a good, honest year. Oh, God, please.
You want another nugget?
Yes,
another nugget?
Yes, I want another nugget.
Okay, Trey Wingo from the Worldwide Leader said, hearing Rodgers coming back to Green Bay hinges on trading for former teammate Randall Cobb.
That's so him.
If Cobb is in Green Bay, it looks like Rodgers will be too.
That's so him. I mean, nice little player. I like Randall Cobb. But like
that's a
hill you're going to die on. No, you have to have Randall Cobb back for you to come back. I'm going to hate watch this guy all season long.
I could go for 4 straight hours of you comparing Olivia Munn to Bridget Moynihan and how Tom Brady treated Bridget compared to how Aaron Rodgers treated Olivia Munn.
This
I could
is
do
not
4
true.
Hours they, of Mike Felgren tablets.
Bridget Moynihan, they have a kid together. They've
That's
worked
right.
out, a visitation, all this. They have a relationship. Rodgers doesn't have a relationship with the people in his life. He blows them up. It's it. It's over, man. You're dead to me. He doesn't talk to his family. What makes you think he's going to talk to anyone in Green Bay this year? That's just sort of a disaster waiting to happen. All right, so there's that Rodgers news. It was kind of an interesting, I don't say whopperish, but pretty pretty notable Patriots story as it relates to Cam Newton that came out this morning as well. We'll give you that after Glashine's 90-second update. There are no commercials, so don't go anywhere.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.